everyone. This is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy. Be sure to check us out on Facebook, our blog, our YouTube channel, and our great sponsors, your Dolce Vita, Italy Rooting, and Abitiva Casa. And we're going to have a fun guest today who's just down the block from me here that I didn't know, and Walt. Margaret Fontana, the Italian-American girl. So welcome, Margaret. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Bob. This is really great. It's great to know that we're neighbors too. So we're both New Jersey, Monmouth County neighbors. So that's good.
Yeah, and you know, I'm just in the process of joining. I don't know why it took me so long to join an Italian club, but I'm finally joining one, and I'm excited about that because they run a big festival and everything mm-hmm. like that. So it should be yeah. fun. So I certainly want to talk about your website and everything, but before we do that, you know, where's your family from originally in Italy?
Yeah, so I am a first generation Italian American, and so my mother and father are directly from Reggio Calabria, which is the southernmost tip of the boot in Italy, and it's the part that everyone says is kicking the part of Sicily. So it's the most connected part where most folks, when they go to Calabria, they visit, you know, Calabria, but then they take this notorious ferry boat over to Sicily. And usually it's to go to the, there's always this big festival in Messina, Sicily. So that's where we're from. We're from Reggio Calabria. And my family is, excuse me, always back and forth. You know, we're still very much connected to our family there because most of our family stayed in Italy. I think my parents are the only people from the family who actually came and settled in the United States, which is like pretty interesting and pretty brave. So, and here I am, along with my siblings, as the first generation, you know, first level of you know, family in America. So it's definitely a nice story to tell. And now we have nieces and nephews and grandkids. So, you know, they are learning the story, and they know that Nonna goes to Italy every couple of months, and that's just the process. That's who we are, and that's what we do.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, boy, I'd love to have your parents on the show one time if we could arrange that. Because I love talking to people who, you know, are first generation. You know, I'm second. My parents were both born here. Mm-hmm. But on my dad's side, three of his older siblings were born in Italy. And on my mom's side, two were born in Italy. And the rest were here. So then, you know, it was kind of a mix and match type of thing, you know, but yeah. I know exactly what you mean about the ferry, because we took the ferry 2 years ago from Reggio Calabria to Messina.
See, and that's always like the location landmark, like when everyone's like, well, where in Calabria? Because, you know, like in Italy, it's like Jersey, right? They're like, what exit are you? And when you're in Italy, they're like, yeah, but what area, you know? So it's always like that's the landmark that I always use and kind of give that example. Everyone's like, I know where that is. So that's good.
Now, were they actually in the city Reggio Calabria?
They're in the outskirts, closest to the town where you pick up that ferry, which is Villa San Giovanni. But then there's like other smaller towns next to it. So they're in a town called Catona. And so my father still has his home, you know, his childhood home. My mother still has her childhood home there. Yeah, but you know, it's so different there than how we have it here in the States. You know, like here, it's like everybody goes off and buys their own home. And there, it's like passed down from generation to generation. And it's a whole different, you know, dynamic when it comes to, you know, being able to go back and visit the childhood homes, because they're actually still there. You know, it's very interesting.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know, we did when we did the tour, because I have part of my family, well, I actually, they own places everywhere because they had mm-hmm. they were nobility, Pio Mallo, and they used them. My grandmother's grandfather was the Count of Montebello and Fossato. So you know, our first stop in Calabria was Sheila, which we actually fell in love with. I'd beautiful. Move there tomorrow if I could convince my wife. Yeah. It's one beautiful. Of the most beautiful places on earth.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, it's so, you know, like now there's so much like connection and social media where everybody's able to broadcast and, postings, and there's so many people out there putting content out about Italy and like all of these wonderful beach towns and things. So there are a few people I follow who actually post constantly about Sheila, and I say to myself, like, Sheila is where, like, my uncle and my cousins would take us, like, on day trips. It's a couple towns down from where we are. So it literally, like, I see it now, and it's like so glamorized now. It's like, oh, summers in Italy. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, when I was like younger, this is a true story. I used to complain because my mother would be like, oh, we're going to Italy this summer so we could see Tia and everybody. And I'd be like, well, why can't we go to Disney? Like, the American in me is like, I want to do what my friends are doing. And so I never realized. So obviously I got older and I was like in college where I'm like, oh my God, I was in the most amazing places my whole life. And here I was being like bratty because I was like, maybe I thought Disney was what it was all about, because that has a lot to do with growing up Italian and American. Like, you want to be like everyone else, but at the same time, that that's like part of who you are. It's like your DNA. So places like Sheila are like home. It's somewhere I would go and just hang out for the day and come home with my cousins, hop on the back of a moped and go back home. So it's beautiful. It's like unbelievable,
You're killing me. You're really killing me. Yeah, we were just so amazed by it. And we were all the way up on top. So
Oh,
we made the
beautiful.
mistake of taking the elevator down and walking back up for some strange reason.
Oh,
But
boy.
my kids are young, so they were bouncing up the stairs. They were in their 20s, so they had no
Yeah.
problem. They had to wait for mom and dad to
That's a
collect
nice
themselves.
experience, though.
Yeah, I tell people I'm not a big fish person. But
Yeah.
the fish, the restaurant, it just, you envision the chef just sticking his hand in the water and pulling out the fish.
I mean, literally, they go out, they have like these very authentic boats. Like, I'm sure you saw when you were there, it's like wood boats, fishing boats. And they just get out there at like 4 in the morning and they're bringing in like the most exotic fish, like you. And if you're at the beach when they pull in and they have their nets and things, like, and it's such an education, right? Because you're seeing like, well, if I'm at the Jersey Shore, like I see like tuna and, like my nephew's into fishing here, and like, it's like the idea of the fish here and the idea of the fish there is like completely different, but so fresh, so exotic. You can just, if you're not a fish person, and I'm like you, Bob, I'm the same way, like, and I'm Southern Italian, everyone's like, how do you not like fish? But if it's like fried calamari or like the way that they make it, the mussels and things, like, I'll be slightly adventurous, because honestly, you can't like go wrong with how things are prepared. It's so fresh and so amazing. And like, who am I to be picky about food when I'm there,
Yeah, no, and that's the kind of the way I was. I went with the flow. It's my kids, they all eat fish, and my son, he'll try anything. My wife will try anything. So just, I'm picky. Always been picky. So why did your parents come?
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com.
Well, so my father, my father passed away 2 years ago, and I always like had this idea in my mind to like always capture everything he always kind of told, like his stories, and part of the story of why he came here. He was the oldest of all of his siblings, and so my father's father, my grandfather, was in World War II, and so after World, so my grandfather got killed in action in World War II. And so at the time, there was this kind of almost like a program, like the government was kind of like trying to help families kind of get back on their feet. So there they put like the eldest son, in kind of in charge of families if the father is not there or something like that. So my dad became basically, the father for the whole family in a sense. And he was talking to a cut like a near distant cousin who was here. And so he was also older, this cousin that lived here. He said to my father, like he called him after, I think my father was like in his teen years, like when all of this happened. And he said to him, I think it would be better for you to come here and, start a life here and make money. And, you can support the family if you come here. And, we'll figure out how to get you a job and all those things. So, literally that's what happened. So my dad, signed up for, this like program to kind of bring people over to America to kind of give them some kind of direction. And so my father went through the process, the immigration process. And, back then it was a very big process. You had to go through all the levels and pieces of it. So he ended up coming to and settling in Newark, New Jersey. So his first, kind of like settled time was in Newark. He, like I said, he had this one uncle who, just kind of like guided him and helped him. And, and that's my Uncle Joe. Like, so my Uncle Joe, his dad, is the person who helped my dad. So like, we always call, everybody's like an uncle cousin. So, but it really was how my dad came here. So he basically came here for like a great life and to start over and to really be able to support his family who was still in Italy. So, he had three other siblings and, my grandmother was still alive, but they had nothing. The house that my father lived in growing up, I was telling you about the childhood home. His house he built, with his own hands. It's like, so I've gone back, we've all seen the house and, many memories there because my aunt ended up living there with my grandmother. But my father, after living here for a while, after many years, he then had enough money. He actually went back to Italy and he ended up like putting in like plumbing in the house. Like he went over with a couple $1,000, which was like $1 million back then. And he ended up putting in plumbing and all these things in the house to kind of like modernize it. And the house is still there, it's still there and it's in great shape. And it's like, my sister was there not too long ago and she went to the house and just took a picture. And it's like all the things that my father talked about, my father built this big wall, to kind of like build out like a patio. And it's like, it's very, very meaningful, like when you think of his story, you ask me like, why did he come here? So it's like, it went full circle, and now the house is there. It's, our goal is to maintain the house and to keep it as like, memorialized basically for my father. That was his blood, sweat, and tears. And he took that journey on a ship, not even a plane. He came here like in the 50s. So he was on like the Olympia and the Andrea Doria. I think he took like one trip at one point, which is like significant because the Andrea Doria years later
Yes,
sunk,
I'm.
you
Yep.
know? It's like a big story. So but my father never, he was a very like modest. He never made a big deal about anything. He was like, yeah, it was we were on the boat. Like, yeah, we had to get here. Yeah, we were in New York. It's no big deal. Like, he was just worried about working. He was like hardcore work ethic. He owned his own construction company. He worked multiple jobs always, just to always make sure that things were paid and we never really, wanted for anything. He was an amazing provider. And that's just like I still tell the story. I'm the parrot in the family, like I'm constantly reminding everyone of like we call my father Papa. So all of his stories are just, never ending because he has a story for every part and every like section of his life. Even till the end, he passed away at 91 and he was still kind of like not done. He's like, oh, he always had something to do and Italy was, his heart and soul, but but he was also American, it, he became very Americanized in his own ways. But it was really all about his heart and soul in Italy. So, and the same thing for my mom. She really, my mom's 81, and so she came over many years later after my father was here settled. My dad went back to the town that I mentioned, and he knew my mom, he knew their family. So he went and did like that proper introduction and said, I want to marry your daughter. He went to my grandfather. He did all those moves, all the proper moves. And my mom was like 25 or 20, 25 or 26, and she just was like, "Yeah, I'll go to America." And so she kind of just came here. She came on Pan Am, so modernized many years later. So, and we laugh because she still has like tags, like luggage tags from Pan Am and stuff. I'm like, this is like vintage now. I'm like, we have to keep these. And then my mother, she had four children here, so I have others, three other siblings. And my mother was always very driven, and she became like this powerhouse of a woman always. I mean, as much as my father was like the head of the family, my mother always kind of wore the pants, but my father let her, like he's
You know,
she just.
it's so funny you say that because I said that to somebody a while ago. I said, you know, the women were smart. They let the men think that they were in charge.
Oh yeah. And my, because my father was like the breadwinner, so he'd always like just, give out the money and stuff. But she'd be like, oh, okay, and she was like the accountant. She would like put it in places and like, and they did really well. The two of them together, they invested in real estate before we started getting savvy and talking about like flipping houses and things. They were doing that back when they were in Newark, so they settled in Newark. I was born in Newark. And my parents, we have like a history in Newark as well. So we my parents bought and sold a couple of houses throughout those years, like in the 70s and the 80s. And they did good with that, and that was part of like their American dream, and that's how they built a little bit up for everybody to kind of have a foundation now of, who we kind of are now. And so part of her whole thing too. So she was so driven, when I went to college, she actually signed up for college, and it was like a big deal because, my father's like, "You're going to go to college?" Like he was just adjusting to me going to college, but he was all for it. And he's like, "You're going to go to college?" And so at the time, we lived in Union, which is up north, and Kane College, as it was called then. My mother started taking classes at Kane, and then she just like got so kind of like entrenched in college, and she loved it. So she ended up getting her bachelor's degree from Kane College. So well, now it's Kane University, but so she really like took on the American kind of persona and the dream, and that was part of what she really wanted to accomplish. So not only did she work all the time, but she also went to college, and it was like such a big deal. And when she graduated, we were all like, my father standing there. My father's a man of few words. He was just like, was pretty good that she finished college. So, so we're proud of her. She's like, she's 81, and you can't keep her down, So she's actually in Italy right now. And so she goes back and forth because her sister, her and her sister kind of like try and stay connected as much as possible. So when
So
she goes
her
back,
sister still lives there.
her
Oh,
sister's
wow, man.
there, and so they go and she goes, and I said, "Well, what are you gonna do? What are you guys gonna do?" She's like, "We just sit, and like that's what Italians do. Like they just like sit, they have their tea, they'll have their food, then they rest." So.
Hey, that's, I can't think of anything better than to be in Italy eating food
Yeah.
and resting. So,
It's a good lifestyle.
and she goes on by herself on the plane and everything.
Thank God. Yeah.
Wow,
She
fantastic,
and
fabulous, fabulous.
so but we keep tabs on her because I'm like, all right, call when you do this, call when you do that. And then, like everybody's there, so she's not alone. So
Sure.
that's like the most important part of all of it, right? But she doesn't, if you look at her and you see how she is, like she's not a typical like 81-year-old. Like she's got a big pep in her step. So thank God. And at this stage, seeing how like, my father, when he passed away, like he just felt like there were so many things he still wanted to do. So now I feel for her, you know, keep going. And you want to be in Italy? Who's gonna say anything at this point? Go and enjoy yourself, you know? So yeah, I just spoke with her this morning and she was just telling me, like, you know, all about her food and what she's been doing. So I'm like, all right, sounds terrible. I gotta go.
Well, Italian moms, I guess, and grandmas aren't what they used to be when I was growing up. You know, my dad's mother was the typical, black dress, bun, the
Oh, yeah.
whole deal. And my mom's mom was the atypical Italian grandmother. When my grandfather died, she wore the black for 3 days, and then she put on the print dress or, house dress, and that was her way. And she didn't subscribe to I guess the normal thing back then. But I remember going to the churches in Corona, Queens, and it was filled with little old ladies wearing black.
Yeah, that's the staple. And you know, and when my mother is here, she's a little less, like, you know, around those rules. But when she's in Italy, like, she still abides by, like, the traditional, like, you wear black, because technically, you know, we're still in mourning, you know, like, and you do that for respect of, you know, which, you know, mainly the wives do it, but, you know, the husbands, it depends if the women do it more than the men.
Well, I grew up with the 3 day funerals,
Oh
or
yeah.
twice a day, 3 days. That was standard.
And that's interesting too. So, like, culturally, like, there in Italy, they keep the person in the house. So, like, when the person passes, like, the person stays in the house. They don't do what we do here, which is, like, you know, funeral home and 3 days, like 2 days wake. Like, there, it's like, if you know the person, you go to the house, the person is there. You visit the person, and it's a quick window, because they don't do what we do here with, like, all of the preparation of, like, you know, the past person and things like that. So it's definitely culturally night and day, you know. And if we're talking about Italian and Italian American culture, this is where it's interesting, because we almost have to, you know, like, there's so many layers to Italian American culture, because this is who we are here. And so, like, we still kind of, like, respect all these traditions that we came from Italy with. But it's like, so if I tell my family there, like, what I've done or something relating to that, they're like, wait a minute, but you have somebody out for 3 days and things like that. And I'm like, that's what that we're American, but that's what Americans do, you know, like, that's our culture. The Italian American culture here, right, is like, oh, you have the big repast and there's, like, it's all about food and catered and all these things. There, it's like, it's kind of like in bad taste to, like, be so gluttonous with food. And, you know, it's really like, people are really focused on just, like, the empathy and the sympathy of what has occurred. So it's definitely, it's an education always, at all times, you know. It's very interesting.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And a couple of trips back was that kind of thing. But that's a good segue into the Italian American girl. I think you started about 15 years ago. So why?
Yeah.
What got you? Why'd you do that?
Yeah. So about around, like, 2008 and 2009, like, this is when social media started sprouting. And I had a moment where, and this is before we started seeing, like, Italian Americans on social media, because if you go on social media now, you get bombarded by all of these, like, quote unquote influencers who are Italian American, more Italian American. So my reasoning for doing that, so at that time I was working for the Discovery Channel. So my background is in broadcast media, and, you know, so I've been a TV producer in my many past lives. And so during that time frame, I was working at the Discovery Channel. And you know, so I really was just in this moment of trying to create a space where I could start really connecting with other Italian Americans. And and education was an important component of it for me, because I had this education background with working at the Discovery Channel. And I just felt like I really needed to put more together. And this is before Facebook. So I wasn't able to, like, put groups and things together. So it was completely from the ground up. You know, How do we bring more Italian American people together, or how do I start collecting information that would be helpful for Italian Americans and even in, in the tri-state area? Because at the time, you're always seeing just maybe like the national organizations, and sometimes the national organizations are so big that it's hard to, like you said, you just joined an Italian American club locally. It's hard to get like the information or the connection. Now it's not hard. You can connect on Facebook. Let me look up Italian American Club, Monmouth County, or whatever county you're in, and you find it. So when I built the site then, I thought to myself, I have so much content from all of the times I've been in Italy. There was so much I wanted to say because I really feel like it's hard, someone in my position, as first generation, having to go to school, maybe not fully always speaking English. I'd speak English and Italian. So I just felt like, how do I want to know other people who are like me. And it's like, little did I know that we are so many. And so back then, I just didn't, I like I said, I grew up in Union, which is, a city suburb. It's about 30 minutes outside of New York, and it's close to Newark. But everybody in that town was very blue collar and from all different backgrounds, not necessarily Italian or Italian American. So I grew up very much surrounded by a diverse community always, and not specific Italians, So that was my main reasoning for creating the site. I was like, let me put this together. Let me like see what I can kind of build, and then see what kind of community I can have like connected with me. And from there, I started connecting with so many amazing people, and it was like this domino effect, because the more I started updating the Italian American site, again, Facebook wasn't a part of the equation at that point, so it wasn't like I was putting content and then sharing it out and saying, hey, everybody, come look. It was really like someone going on Google and seeing if they find an Italian American, and I would come up on the Google search. So I really met and created a huge community of people. I mean, at that time, my web traffic was like through the roof. And then a couple years later, I decided, when Facebook and then Twitter and then YouTube became more prevalent, I created all of the other supplemental pieces. And so from there, I have like over 50,000 kind of, I guess, friends from around the world who just constantly are either interacting with me. I get to share educational information, I get to share cultural stories. That was one of the biggest things, was stories, because there's so many people who have amazing stories about growing up Italian American. And I think that that's it gets very diluted, especially now, right? Because you have mass media where you see fictional characters. I'll leave out like names and things, but you see fictional characters of lifestyles, or of perhaps, maybe some things are true. And we have to respect some of those things that are true, because we can't deny history or things like that, because some of these things do occur and are real things. But what has happened with like mass media and social media, it's diluted the idea of Italian American, Italian culture, education. All of it has kind of like gotten really muddy, and it's scary, because what I created the site for back then was about connecting with people who were like-minded from our culture. And I did meet all of those people, and I still have them, interacting with me. But now I'm seeing a different type of culture kind of emerging, and that's like the younger generations, and the probably third or fourth generation Italian Americans, who just think that Italian American means a hit HBO TV show. Maybe there are nuances of culture that have to do with New Jersey culture, tri-state culture, which you can't deny. Like, we are a certain way from New Jersey. We do speak a certain way. We do eat a certain way. We do visit certain things. So the site now for me and like my goal now is to like reemerge and like kind of educate everyone a little bit more, reintroduce the education of Italian American. We have to respect the different layers of Italian American. So I'm first generation. Yes. Am I closer to like those pieces of the way my parents came here and those it's almost like the time capsule pieces. Yes, I'm closer to it. But I also have to respect the second, third, fourth, fifth generations because these are the people who settled in the 1800s, their families, right? So they built America, as we say. It's like the Italians built America between like infrastructure and all those things. So why did I build the site Italian American Girl? Because I just think it's really important. It's really important to put in the layer of education the best way possible that I can contribute my part. And I think that I have a valid voice because of what I come from and also my American culture, my American background, and the fact that I've invested my background, my parents spent money on college for me. And I went to college and I've always had these amazing, wonderful jobs. I've always worked for Fortune 500, amazing places. I've had great mentors. So I'm at a level now where I think it's my responsibility to almost start reintroducing and inserting myself to educate more on Italian American culture. So that's the long, short version, Bob.
Yeah, and I know exactly where you're coming from because when I started doing my family research, I was just, I was doing my own thing and finding what I found. But you're right about the stories because I started thinking, well, I have stories. Other people must have stories, and their stories are probably similar to mine, maybe completely different, but I don't know. So when I did the blog, if the first when I first started the blog, it was one way. I was just, regurgitating everything that I saw and knew, whatever. And that's why I started doing the podcast and then eventually, putting on YouTube, because the stories are fascinating and there are differences between the generations, from my parents' generation to my generation who grew up in the, 50s and 60s, surrounded by Italian Americans. I mean, my grandmother's neighborhood, there was nothing but Italian Americans there. As opposed to someone like you or my friend Tilde that I'm gonna interview next month, who's also first generation but my age. So the stories are a little bit different. But I'm terrified, and there are some others like me that we're gonna lose our connection to Italy, and that's what I'm trying to promote as much as I can.
It's really, I think not everyone could probably get to Italy in their lifetime. I mean, maybe they can, and that's like a wonderful investment and moment for someone, whether you have just interest or you have like, you come from it. Yes, it is scary because, I think that there's a lost, that's the main lost story. Because it's what we're trying to do too is put education into the school systems, right? So you have organizations, Italian American organizations that are working really hard to then implement the education and the curriculum into schools to make sure that there's a layer of education. Oh, Italy. Oh, where is that located? Like we're talking history 101 and geography and really making sure that there's historical context. So if you're on social media now and you're looking at the world news, right? And does anyone know where Italy is in proximity to any of these war zones? Do we know that Italy is part of the European Union? Do we know that Italy is an ally to the United States? I will bet you the bank if you asked any Italian American any of these like top four or five questions, they'd be like, well, maybe I don't know, or where is the, maybe they do. May but I'll bet they don't know as much just because there's no education to us being connected to Italy or what it stands for us.
Well, yeah, and the art and the culture going back 2,000 years is just, phenomenal. And What also kind of bugs me is that, we know so much about all the other European cultures because they've made movies about the kings and queens of England and Spain and France and all of this kind of stuff. They very rarely do anything like that for us. And when they do, it's baloney.
Yeah.
And I was thrilled that they're remaking, the Leopard now in Sicily, which I can't wait for because that's 70 years old, the original movie. And it just was, 90 minutes or whatever it was, where this is going to be a series. And like my friend Adriano from Diamante TV, who's putting a lot of stuff out there, I'm trying to get people, even if you don't understand the language, you get it when you start seeing this stuff, and it reminds you of, at least me, of where you came from. And I think that's really important for people to connect.
Yeah, I mean, I think it who you are actually really in my experience, right? It's like who I am is how I interact with you. Who I am is how I show up when I'm at a meeting for a very high level meeting for my job, when I'm doing something that's important. How I interact and how I treat people has everything to do with how I grew up. And even religiously. So, and that could mean in a different nuance, it's like, well, do I forgive people? So it, and that has everything to do with how you do business. And how do I interact? And should I have more empathy? And as a leader, do you have empathy? And these are all things I learned because of my background and because of the connection to being from Italy. And it's fascinating because I do this comparison all the time because my mother, raised us to obviously be religious because we grew up very Catholic and she was like the CCD teacher. So, really it's everywhere, like in the house we grew up in, she had statues of Jesus and Padre Pio everywhere and still does, So these are all connective pieces that really determine how you are as how I am as a person now and how I interact with the world. And so, I think it's so important to unravel, like you're saying, they're going to remake even like a more an important film. It's like it's so important to unravel all of those pieces and determine, or give that prime time kind of like availability to the story so you can see it. So it exposes everyone to, oh, that's why this is that way, or this is why we built that, or this is why so and so interacts this way, or I think it has everything to do with your core DNA of just like Margaret interacting with the world. It has everything to do with where I come from, everything.
Yeah, and the other thing that one of the big cultural differences, I think, between here, not necessarily Italian Americans, but Americans in general, and there, they don't
Yeah.
forget the past.
No.
They're still living the past, 300, 400 years old, the same food, the same place, the same festivals, everything,
Yeah.
and they're so proud of it.
Yeah. And Bob, so if I go back to like my parents' hometown, you say from 100 years ago, like the streets are from 100 years ago. If you have a modern car, and so this is a true story. I rented a car 1 year. And it was a larger, like station wagon type car. And I got it only because there were a couple of us there for my family. So I figured, let me get the bigger car. But problem number one, I got an automatic. And they all were like, oh, how dare you get an automatic, right? I didn't have enough time to do the crash course for a manual. And so I was like, let me be safe and just get an automatic. But I will tell you, even driving in the street, okay, I had to adjust like my brain to drive in the streets that were made for 100 years ago, a little or more than that, because they don't, they keep the posterity of history intact. So they're not going to change because you're driving a hybrid electric station wagon. They're like, go around the monument, my friend, like figure out how to adjust the car. And the streets are so small there. The streets are small because it's still from, many hundreds of years ago. And so to your point, that's like a concrete real example of like the pieces not moving or changing there. And so it's like We have to adjust, but we maintain the posterity of like the historic pieces that remain there. You know, it's like you don't change that, you leave that. You know, if it's not broken, don't. I mean, they maintain things, but it's like, yeah, you don't undo 200 years of history at all.
Right, yeah, and our driver in Naples, he had like a, I don't know, a 10 or 12 seat minivan or something like that, and he's going down these streets and backing up, and I'm like, geez. I
Yeah.
wouldn't drive anymore. I don't even like driving here. Well, I drove when we were there 25 years ago, and drove the Amalfi Coast, which was quite an experience for
Oh
sure.
yeah. I mean, my mother was like, "Are you sure you want to drive?" I was like, "I'm fine, you know." And because I would always drive into New York, so like I kind of was like a little like cocky maybe, I think. And so but when I started driving there and I'm on the Autostrada and I'm like on all these like, you know, I'm trying to follow their rules. I was like, this is hardcore driving here. Like you have to really prepare yourself if you're going to rent a car there. It's they don't mess around, you know. It's a whole different ball game driving there, and they're a little riskier. You know, they drive faster. They're like they'll like squeeze in places. Like here we have the like we have so much room. Like with our streets and our highways, like we're very spoiled here. If you go there, you're like, I was like flipping in my windows. I would like tell my mother, I'm like, roll the window down, like flip the window in, because people would like scoot by. I'm like, oh my God, you're gonna hit the car. They're like, no, nah, we got room. I'm like, there's no room. They're like, it's fine. But so funny, so
Well,
funny.
we learned in Naples, don't try and dodge the Vespas. They'll go around you. If you try to get out of the
Oh yeah.
way, you're going to get run over. Just let them. They'll do what they want to do, you know?
So funny, so funny.
So before we go, we're going to have to do this, like you said, we'll have to do this live over some wine someplace. But
Yeah,
before we
I would love that.
go, where can people get in touch with you, or find the Italian American girl?
Yeah, so it's ItalianAmericanGirl.com, and then if you want to find me on Facebook, Instagram, it's just the same, Italian American Girl. On Facebook, it's Italian American Girl USA. As the URL when you search. But I'm there. I'm on all social media. You know, like I said, ItalianAmericanGirl.com. And you know, my name is Margaret Fontana, and I also have Margaret Fontana, my professional kind of, you know, what I do in media and marketing and all of those fun things. So you'll find me on Marg, Margi Fontana. It's the same on everything. But this was awesome. This was so fun, Bob. I'm so happy you reached out. I was like so excited when you did.
I can't believe it took us this long to find each other.
I
It's a
know.
big wall.
I know you're right down the street, literally. So this will be fun. We can definitely connect, you know, maybe in the summertime when I can't wait for the weather to break and for it to be summer soon, because
Yeah, no.
I can't take the rain anymore.
No, me too. And maybe we get your mom on too. That would be fun. I'd love to have
Oh,
her on.
gosh. She'll be all over that. She'll be
Fantastic.
excited.
Thank you.